I am going to be talking about the difference between hearing and knowing about God versus knowing God. So, God, right now, thank you so much for the ability to share your word. Thank you for choosing me. It's an honor to be a conduit of your Holy Spirit. And I just pray that the hearts and minds of everyone here would be open to hear what it is that you have to say to them. In Jesus' precious name we pray. So let's talk about the difference between hearing about someone and actually knowing someone. There is a difference. When you hear about someone, you may learn a couple of facts. You may learn about where they were born, where they grew up, what they do for a living, like where do they work, if they work. You learn about their favorite color, their favorite food. You might even know their favorite quotes. There are so many people in history that we have learned about, and we know so much information about them. We may know about their philosophy on life, what they think about certain things, and even how they responded to past events. You may learn that, this famous person, celebrity or whoever, that, they learned, you know, back in the past when this thing happened, this is what they did. So you learn about what they did. So there's a lot of things you can learn about a person, but knowing a person is very different. When you know a person, it takes the relationship between you and that person from a formal, impersonal state to a very personal one. So when you know someone, then you may learn things about whether or not that person is trustworthy, or if they are disloyal. You'll learn whether or not they're a committed kind of person or if they're wavering. You learn if they're faithful or duplicit. You'll learn whether or not you can trust what they say they're going to do and that they're going to be where they say they're going to be, or you'll learn not to trust that. You'll learn that, yeah, that's not going to happen. So just let me see. If you know someone who pretty much always does what they say they're going to do and they're always at the place they say they're going to be, raise your hand if you know someone like that. If you don't know anyone like that, you need to change your circle. That's a problem. You need to have at least one person that you know like that. If you know someone who seems to have good intentions, but what they say they're going to do and what they and where they say they're going to be, they never really fall through with that. It's like, yeah, you said it, but you never do what you're going to say. Anybody know someone like that? Okay, so when you only hear about someone, you don't really know these things for yourself. You might have heard, you know, the information. But when you know someone, you know these things, whether it's good or bad. And your knowledge of the person is only as accurate as the source. So when you hear about something or about someone, that information is only as accurate as the source in which you obtain that information. So have you ever heard something negative about someone, where a person, about a person, and you accidentally believed it, only to find out that the source of the information was a hater? Has that ever happened? It's happened to me, so. Growing up in grade school, I can't tell you how many times I've heard particularly females talk about other females because they were haters, and they would say things like, that girl over there is stuck up, she conceited, she thinks she better than everybody else, or she act like she can't talk to nobody because she better than everybody else. And when I was immature, I might have fallen for the okey-doke and be like a little bit bitter towards that person, like, I don't think I like her either. I don't even know her, you know. I don't think I like her, you know. Only to find out later that the girl was just introverted or quiet in nature and actually very, very kind. And the people who lied about her character were just haters. So this is an example of the source of information being inaccurate. I didn't know the girl for myself. I trusted the wrong source. So at several points in your life, you're going to need to evaluate your relationship with Jesus. Do you know him, or have you only heard about him? And what is your source of information? There are many people who know about Christ, Unfortunately, some people have obtained and believe inaccurate information because their source is inaccurate. There are actually people that believe that Jesus never existed, and they believe that the story of Jesus is a myth. Wonder where their source of information was. Some people believe that Jesus was only a spirit being and he was never flesh, that he was not a human being and that he was only an angel. Wonder where that source of information came from. And that Jesus was only a good man. He was a good man, but that's it. He was just a good man. Wonder where that source of information came from. Jesus was only a prophet, but not the Son of God. I wonder where that source of information came from. If anyone here believes any of these myths, let me clear this up for you right now. But before I do, let's consider the source, the Bible. I'm going to read something from you to you from the Bible, and we're going to talk about this resource. First, we need to be in agreement that this source is accurate and true. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." And then if you skip all the way down to verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So this passage of scripture explains who the Word is. And yes, I said who. The words that you read in the Bible are alive. It is life. It is God. If you want more of Jesus, read the Word. If you want change, read the Word. If you have broken places in your life, read the Word. If you have broken places in your relationships, read the Word, because it is alive. It's just not some story with words written on a page. It is God himself speaking to you. So don't be surprised when you hear that there are people who don't believe that the Word is true or is alive, because verse 5 just explained that the darkness did not comprehend it. If you do not agree that the Word of God, the Bible, is true, then you have a faith problem. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. You're going to have a very hard time learning about God's standards and learning his truth. I encourage you to pray and talk to the Holy Spirit if this is you, and ask him to help you with your unbelief if you have not resolved the fact that the Bible is true. So let's go back to these myths. And just because if you choose not to follow the Word, or believe the Word, it doesn't make it less true. Let's just clear that up. It is true whether you agree with it or not. So let's debunk the myths about Jesus by turning to his Word. And let's listen to him, Jesus Christ himself, tell us who he is. So I'm going to read John chapter 10. Verses 1 through 38. And I know it's a lot of verses, but hang in there. I'm actually going to read from the New Living Translation. I think the translation that we're going to put up is actually the English Standard Version. I think it's pretty close to it, but it all means the same thing. But if you're the New Living Translation is just a little bit easier to understand the wording. So this is Jesus telling us a little bit about himself. He says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than go through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice." Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's only working for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too. They are not in the sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice and there will be one flock, one shepherd. The Father loves me because I sacrificed my life so I may take it back up again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and also to take it up again, for this is what my Father has commanded. When he said these things, the people were again divided in their opinions about him. Some said, he's demon-possessed and out of his mind. Why listen to a man like that? Others said, this doesn't sound like a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? It was now winter, and Jesus was in Jerusalem at the time of Hanukkah, the festival of dedication. He was in the temple, walking through the section known as Solomon's Colonnade. The people surrounded him and asked, how long are you going to keep us in surprise? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. So Jesus replied, I have already told you, and you don't believe me. The proof is the work I do in my Father's name. But you don't believe me because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. For my Father has given them to me and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. Once again, the people picked up stones to kill him. And Jesus said, at my Father's direction, I have done many good works. For which one are you going to stone me? And they replied, we're stoning you not for any good work, but for blasphemy. You, a mere man, claim to be God. And Jesus replied, it is written in your own scriptures that God said to certain leaders of the people, I say you are gods. And you know that the scriptures cannot be altered. So if those people who received God's message were called gods, why do you call it blasphemy when I say I am the Son of God? After all, the Father set me apart and sent me into the world. Don't believe me unless I carry out my Father's work. But if I do his work, believe in the evidence of the miraculous works I have done. And if you don't believe me, then you will know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. So in these scriptures, Jesus explained who he was. He is the Son of God. So when you have only heard about someone, you lack the relationship to be able to trust that person with your deepest, darkest secrets. You lack the relationship to be able to trust that they can handle whatever dirt you did. You lack the relationship to be able to trust that they won't forsake you after they found out just how dirty and grimy you really are. You know, when you don't know someone and you've done something, you're not going to tell that person what you did because you don't want them to judge you. You don't want them to run from you. You don't want them to make you feel any worse than what you already are. So you keep it a secret and you hold it inside and eventually it'll come out. But when you know someone, someone that you trust, you're more willing to tell them what's going on. So I encourage you to get to know God so that you can tell him he already knows. You can't hide from him. He already knows. Many people who have only heard about Jesus have learned that he was born a virgin named Mary, that he was crucified, that he died on the cross and was buried. Some even know that he rose from the dead. Some have heard that he will come again to judge the living and the dead. They have even heard that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. They've heard these things. They've heard about it. But those who know Jesus, man, when you know him, you know that I am his friend. You see how much more personal that is. He calls me friend. That's in John 15, verse 15. I'm going to tell you a couple of things that you would know when you know God. And I'm going to tell you the verses so you can look them up later. So write them down. When you know God, you know that he loves me. John chapter 3, verse 16. You know that even though I am undeserving of his mercy and that I was guilty and a sinner, he loved me enough to die for me so that I could be in relationship with him and live with him in eternity as a son or daughter. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. That I didn't do anything to earn this salvation, so there's nothing bad enough that I can do to make me lose it. Nothing can pluck me out of his hands. John chapter 10, verse 28. That he hears our prayers. 1 John chapter 5, verse 15. That he forgives all of my sins, all of them. Mark chapter 3, verse 28. That no matter how grimy or dirty I have behaved, that my sin is not so bad that he would ever leave me. I might abandon him, but he'll never abandon me. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. That in my worst state of mind, when I fall short, when I am weak, he is strong. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. That his way is perfect, and he is protection to all who trust him. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 31. And that he is holy, and he expects us to be holy in our conduct. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. And that I can trust him, and he will do what he said. He does not lie. That's Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. So you see, when you know God, is a more intimate relationship. It's one of trust. And everybody can afford to look at their own relationships with the Father and say, do I trust him? Do I really know him? Because you can never even get to the point of learning about yourself or knowing who you are in Christ if you don't know who he is. Because you are in him. You don't know who you're in. You have to know him. And you can kind of tell when a person knows God. Jesus said that those who know him will follow him because they know his voice. I've heard people say, oh, I know God, I just don't do what he say. Have you heard that before? I know, I just don't do what he say. I just, you know, I kind of do my own thing. I know him though. I know God. No, you know about him. You don't know him. And this is not my opinion. I'm going to tell you, this is not my opinion, because 1 John chapter 2, verses 4 through 6 says, he who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself to walk just as he walked. So you don't get to say, well, yeah, I know him, I just don't do what he say. You're a liar. That's what the scripture says. So you have to do what he says. If you know him, if you hear his voice, it's that voice inside of you that says, this isn't right. And it's your responsibility to follow him, to submit to him. Others may say, I know God, but I got to do what I got to do to get this money. Or I got to do what I got to do to climb this ladder of success. I ask you, which do you love more, God or the world? 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So everyone in this room has room to grow and mature in Christ. I want you all to take the time and think about how your relationship with God can improve. Do you really know God for yourself? Or have you only heard about him? Do you trust him? If your life seems to always involve a lot of drama, I encourage you to inspect your relationship with the Father. Are you listening to his voice? Are you following him? Are you reading his word? If you want to know what he said, what he thinks, you have to read his word. It is alive. And if there are areas in your life that are dying and are on life support, your relationships, your finances, your emotional health, I encourage you to seek out the God of peace and follow him. It's not good enough to just read the words on the page and not do it. You have to be doers of the word. Because when the shepherd calls, the sheep hears his voice and they follow him. So if you're reading it and you're hearing it, but you're not doing it, then you're not following him. So follow him. So I'm just going to say a prayer right now. And I thank God for the opportunity to share. But dear God, thank you for loving us enough to seek us out, for loving us enough to come after us, for loving us enough to keep trying over and over and over and over again, for loving us enough to call out to us. And even when we ignore you, you send your people to call out to us on your behalf. Thank you for loving us enough to die for our sins so that we could be in relationship with you and live with you in eternity. Thank you enough. Thank you for providing for us in our time of need and for giving us everything that we could ever need. And thank you for showing us the way and not just abandoning us. Thank you for just not putting us on this earth and not giving us any direction. You gave us your word. You gave us the truth. And you left it up to us to follow it. So we thank you for the direction. We thank you for the guidelines. We thank you for the boundaries. We thank you that we can choose to follow you and that that is a choice because it didn't have to be. So we thank you for all that you have done for us. And we thank you for having the whole world in your hand and not allowing it to just be out of control even when we think it is. Thank you for being in control. And thank you, Lord, for Pastor John and Christine. And we ask that you look after them and protect them and their family and their travels to and from Virginia. We ask that you speak to the broken places in their hearts and that you heal their wounds. They're still healing from a great loss. But we thank you so much for loving them enough and not abandoning them in their time of need. And thank you for encouraging them. And thank you for this body, Jesus. Thank you for allowing the people in this room to say yes and encouraging us to say yes when we're called. And thank you for calling us to our neighborhoods and to our communities. Thank you for allowing us to serve. And thank you for trusting us to serve appropriately. Thank you, God, for all that you have done for us and all that you have given us. In Jesus' name we pray.